The topic tonight is taking Holden home. That is, we see a lot of really neat things, a lot of talented teachers, a lot of talented cooks, a lot of talented thinkers, singers, and so on. And it often seems like it'd be really neat if we could just do this back home in our home congregations or in our neighborhoods or even in our homes. No, we're yet set up. And somehow, sometimes it seems like it's too much to ask the musician or the pastor or the young people or the old people or the middle-aged people or the neighbors to do one of the things that you'd like to do. And we have in front of us today some people who have had some luck at that or who are planning to do some of that. Enough from me. On my left is Janet Grant. On my right is Ray McKeever, Cressy Rice, Paul Williams, Mark Dittmanson, who will all tell you what they have done or what they're hoping to do. Who wants to start? Thank you, Janet.
My name is Janet Grant. I'm one of the new directors here at Holden. And I lived at Holden several years ago, for 3 years in the early 1980s. So in the fall of 1983 and spring of 84, my anticipation of leaving this place was probably different than maybe your experience of anticipating going home and wanting to take some of Holden with you if you've only been here for a few days or a few weeks. But nonetheless, wanted to do that. So I'm here tonight to tell you a little bit about a community I became part of when I left Holden Village, and I'm also interested in hearing from you as a new director here. What is it that you would want to take away from this place? What are the things we ought to be doing to help you take something away from Holden? This is a place of renewal for the church, for individuals within the church, so that we can go away from here and be church, wherever that might be. In 1984, about 18 of us established ourselves in Minneapolis, Minnesota, and wanted to start a community called the Community of St. Martin. And I have some brochures here that will tell you a little bit about that community as it exists today, 10 years later. And you're welcome to have some of those if you want. Community of St. Martin got its start here in Chalet 4 Living Room. Many of us wanting to have a similar community experience to the one we had here at Holden, where we had a worship life together. And so we got together with a bunch of people in Minneapolis that were of like mind, who had been to Holden mostly, and figured out how that might be. There are other people in the community right now who are part of that community and have been at different times in life. Ray Keever is one of those people. Linda Breitake is another one. Community of St. Martin is a worshiping community. We worship on Sunday evenings so that people could be also be part of a congregation. Our focus is in nonviolence and peacemaking. We feel that as Christians we are called to be peacemakers and have the opportunity once a year to corporately take a vow of nonviolence. We feel that our work as Christians then, as a body of peacemakers, is outside ourselves. So we have a kind of dual role where we try to nurture one another through our worship life together and through support groups and other opportunities to be together, as well as reaching out to the community. So one of the ministries that I was very involved with in the community of St. Martin is St. Martin's Table, which is a bookstore restaurant in Minneapolis that features peace and justice resources, uses volunteers just like we do here at Holden. We took that concept of volunteerism with us. Volunteers serve tables and give their tips away. St. Martin's Table gives away $26,000 a year that way to hunger projects. So we were able to take some of the ideas of worship, volunteerism, support for one another, and do that. And we had a group of people that were willing to struggle through what that meant. And I guess I'll just stop with that. That's a lot.
Right. Talk about music and how you've seen it work and how it's not working.
At Holden Village, or in my life, or what I've taken with me.
What you've taken with you. We try to.
Or given others.
Or given others.
The easiest thing in the world for me, well, it's not easy, is to do music. The hardest thing is to talk about it. I have a couple of thoughts, though. I came to Holden Village 5 years after I decided I was going to. I started kind of writing a little music for the church. And in a way, I came here at exactly the wrong time because I just put out my first book. And then I disappeared into the wilderness. I got this, you know, a box of 1,000 books that came to this church in Minneapolis. And I left it all behind and came here and thought, am I crazy? This is absolutely stupid. And maybe what I learned, actually I forgot. Now I had a brilliant thought about that. I just can't even remember what it was.
Sing it.
Well, yeah, I could sing it. Actually, what it taught me was, I don't know how this relates to Holden exactly, but it's what's on my heart at the moment, was that it was hard for me to put out that book because I was so attached to that music myself. And I think leaving it behind and letting it do what it would do on its own through the church and coming to Holden, I came here not even as village musician. I worked in Tate Ministry. And I think what that allowed me to do was to pull back on maybe too professional or perfectionistic a thing that I was developing maybe a little bit with my book, and just to kind of lay back, and it kind of did its own thing for a while, and some people would pick it up here and take it with them. So for me, that relates also to just a style at Holden. I came here and lived here for 10 months, and one of the things that I took back from Holden, both in terms of maybe just a looser attitude about my art, was the whole notion of Holden as a community that entertains itself, that puts together its own little shows. We didn't have any TVs here when I was here. There was no videos, no VCRs, no nothing like that. And during the winter, we create our own entertainment in some pretty incredible ways. So, I don't know if that says anything, but there's something about that participatory style of life that we don't get enough of, I think, in our own lives, and it curtails our creativity. I took that home from Holden, and I do every time I come here. Let me just say one more thing, even though this is longer than 3 minutes, but this is another good example. I didn't think about it, but I was married to Judy Essman, who died about 2 years ago. Judy came here, we came here together as a family, and Judy had been working in career counseling for about 15 years. And she used the opportunity to come to Holden Village as a point in time where she could leave something behind. I think a lot of people do that in some ways, in their own ways. She came here, she'd had a dream since she was a child, of running a bookstore. She came here and ran the bookstore during the winter and learned a lot about it, went back, worked at St. Martin's Table, and we moved to Dubuque, Iowa, and she ran her own bookstore for 3.5 years before she died. And I would just say that as another way to take Holden with you, is if you're looking for a change in your life, sometimes it can work to come here and to sharpen some skills, practice some skills, things like that. I'd open to questions later.
My name is Cressy Rice, and I'm the junior minors leader. Probably all good, So, Peter wanted me to talk. When I first got here, there was Women's Awareness Week, which Paula was really involved in. And I loved that week, and it was amazing to me how much different. I come from a really small town. I went to school in a very small town. How different Holden was for me as a woman, and the friendships I could make, and the way people were, women in particular, were so much more open to other women than normally. I have very, very close female friends, but I've met them through. Like I ski, and they were skiers and we met that way. And so coming to Holden, I was all by myself. I didn't know if I had anything in common with anyone. And people were so much more open. Women were so much more open with each other. And I wanted to know how I could how I could bring that back and try and make the world a little bit more like that, at least where I was. And I went home for 2 weeks and I went to church, and it was very frustrating for me because there wasn't any inclusive language. I mean, it was just the same old thing. But I talked with my pastor and we talked about things like that, and maybe our church might start using it, but you know, it's probably up to the congregation. Anyway, what I get from Holden is just, I'm now more willing to go up to someone that maybe I want to meet and open myself up to them instead of just hiding around the corner and saying, you know, maybe I don't know. That's what I got.
My name's Paula. I work in the kitchen. I've been here since last August. There is a group of 7 of us who will go to New York City in October to begin a community of our own. 4 of us have spent a lot of time here at Holden. 3 of us were here the whole year. Another one has been sort of in and out. He's the one that's in New York City right now, going to school. We started talking about the idea in November. In some way or another, all of us had some sort of dream of owning some sort of, potentially a restaurant, a cafe, a bookstore, together communally, and never had met people who were willing to kind of go it with us. So we met each other. Allison and I started talking in the kitchen, and Sarah and I started talking, and we all just started to talk about what that might mean for us. And we kind of stepped back from the communal outreach part of it for the first year. We're gonna spend trying to live together as an intentional community, using a lot of the things that we took from Holden, particularly I think the meeting together as often as we can. At Holden we meet once a night, and it's a good way to bring people together, and it's very unusual in this culture. So we're gonna try as much as we can, depending on our schedules, to get together and try to find some sort of common ministry so that we can start to do that together, hopefully after a year. But we'll spend a lot of time praying together, worshiping together, volunteering at different organizations together to try to get a sense for what our strengths and weaknesses are. One of the things about Holden that I'll take with me and take to this community is sort of the exploration of gifts. This winter allowed all 3 of us, I think, to really discover our gifts. And we were able to do some amazing things together that I don't think we would ever have been able to do on our own. So that's a gift of Holden, is that it allows you to be a beginner and go with it. So yeah, we're at the beginning stages. We don't have a vision, a mission statement yet. We will work on it as the year goes to try to come up with what our ideas are going to be. And hopefully within a year or 2, 3 maybe, we'll have some sort of common ministry we'll be doing together. So,
I'm Mark Dittmanson. I'm a pastor of a small church in Minneapolis. It's called Lake of the Isles, and I've got a number of my people right in front. When I was asked to say a few words about taking Holden home, I did what I hope any pastor would do. I went right to the dinner table and I said, "What should I say?" So my group gave me a lot of advice. The youngest is Pierre, 9? 10. His advice was pictures. So you take Holden home in pictures. So I asked him his favorite question of me, why? And it's because then you can remember it. Well, why? So I try to keep pushing it. But the group filled in a lot of the blanks. So one of that is that it's so beautiful, creation is so marvelous, we need to get out of the city where we are to see what we have around here, but then also see the program of recycling and composting and the care that's given here, and maybe bring that home a little bit. Also just the aspect of refreshment to be in here. It's not so much that we can take that home, but that we can take home the refreshment that the Spirit is at least strong enough again, and we'll probably come back for that. Another one of the group was saying that, well, we've got to take trust home, that this has been a community where he's seen people being kind, living a Christian community, being trusting of each other, and so he hopes to take that home. He's a parole officer, and so perhaps that's very significant in his life, that he said trust. For myself personally, I'm also one of those in our group who we love to hike, but what I've also appreciated is this is my third time, and my last time was six years ago, and I'd start every day with the Bible study and then hike and then come back to worship. And there was a really nice feeling about starting with God's Word, seeing the creation, and then coming back to praising God. And then that brings me to the first time I was here, which was 23 years ago with the youth group, and it was my first opportunity to ever preach. But what was really wonderful for me at that time of taking Holden home was being a youth group like the youth tonight, leading worship. And I just watched them and I thought, I hope they take that experience home of being a youth, leading worship, reading the scripture, leading the songs, because for me that was a high point 23 years ago, sitting down by Railroad Creek trying to come up with a sermon, knowing that I had all these high-powered people, teachers and pastors and lay people. But the empowerment, I guess, would be an important part to take home, and I've just heard that too. I want you to talk about your experience, Women's Awareness Week. I mean, it's the empowerment of kids. It's been wonderful to see how kids are loved and cared for.
Thank you all. What questions or issues, or what things do you want to take on? Is there any way we can help?
One of the questions that arose out of this, one of the speakers said that when she went back home, she felt that the church was closed in and she couldn't communicate with them. I was just wondering if people sitting in the audience, if they feel that they can communicate with people they have not known before easier at home than they do at home, and if they could take that kind of communication back home with them.
How about you?
Well, I find it very easy to talk to everybody here. Maybe I talk too much, but anyhow. I find that, smiling at people, they smile back, you say hello, you talk to them about a session you've gone to. You probably are all well aware that one of the complaints about the Lutheran Church is nobody talks to anybody. I think our church, very deliberately, we try to talk to new people, we try to talk to people that are, we have a reputation for being very open and accepting the church that way, and expression from many people that hearing that, or finally feeling that, makes them want to come back. And I think Holden demonstrates that very well, where people of all ages talk to other people.
I think that may be true, but But I think it only happens half as far as that to maybe in our congregation, and maybe not as far as it ought to here at Holden either. I came by myself without my family this week, and I was real apprehensive about that. The first lunch that I sat down to, nobody at my table said anything to me. Some were staff people, some were yes. And I thought, what have I done? I work for a company, and one of my first weeks on the job, somebody said to me, I came to a meeting, I sat down, started listening to what was going on, and afterwards a gentleman came up and he said, whenever you sit down, introduce yourself to both people on either side of you. And I think that it's a good thing to do for the rest of your life, whether you're at church or in a meeting for your job or whatever it is. Make sure that you have said hello to people on both sides. And if they know your name and you know their name. I think that to some extent Holden is open, but I think that there also can be a very what looks like a closed kind of block. It can look like a block between faculty and guests. It can look like a block between people who've been here a year versus people who've only been here a day. I think we have to be very cautious about assuming that it looks wide open to everybody.
There's two things that have been said that make me want to respond to it. I'll start out by saying that the two things I'm going to say are going to sound like contradictory, and maybe they are. That's okay. I'm here by myself too, and that has proved to be more of a problem and more difficult than I expected it to be because of this image I've been holding from people who've been here. I think it has a lot to do, I think there's a real difference being a guest versus a staff person. It hasn't been a bad week for me, it's been a wonderful week, and a lot of other things I didn't expect have happened, and I've met some great people, and so I'm gonna walk out of this feeling really lucky and fortunate and blessed, but I think that what you said is true, and I want to affirm that there's maybe some things that can be thought about. The other thing I wanted to respond to is the comment about kids. I'm a teacher, and one of the things that's really interesting to me observing this week is that there's sort of a generational, people seem to overcome generational stereotypes here. And maybe parents don't see it with their own children. You know, but I've had some very neat interactions with kids of all ages that don't really see me as a parent figure, or they don't know me. I mean, they don't. And I'm able to see them that way, and staff people, many of whom are, you know, younger than the parents here, older than the kids here. I mean, there's some real neat abilities I've seen people to connect outside of the normal pigeonholes of age, which is kind of neat.
The village pastor says almost every week to the teaching staff when we introduce them to the program that a lot of the props get knocked out when you come to Holden. Yeah. So some of the things that hold you in place as parent, as teacher, as whatever, aren't here, and you get to cross some of those lines that you wouldn't normally cross. I think it's as much each of us leaving those props down at the dock as this place. Sorry.
Oh yeah, I know what I was going to say. Just along that line, one thing I think I learned to take home from Holden that I think you're talking about or is being raised here is that I think in the outside world, whatever, if I sit down in a strange place, a cafeteria or something, I think the norm is that you don't talk to each other. And there's a part of me that feels really bad about that, but there's a part of me that says, oh well, it's just the way it is. Here I think the norm is everybody talks to each other. So if it doesn't happen, I don't just let it go. I have to deal with it, and then I find a creative way to deal with it, like that. Yeah, I either take the initiative because that's the way it's supposed to be, or whatever. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So it is. It's kind of disturbing in a way, but for a while anyway. I usually when I leave here, I take that with me. I do stupid things with people. I pretend I just know, you know. And it's been for a while. It's kind of like when we left here, when Judy and I left here. We decided when we got home we were going to put our TV away because we lived without one here, and we were able to do it for about a month. And then you can't do it any longer. because everybody's talking about it. It's the content of conversation. You feel really out of it. So you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it's that same kind of feeling. You take some of that, a different perspective on things. Yeah.
I'd like to say something about being here alone also. I'm on staff here at Waitrose, and last summer I came also for vacation, for a break, from family. And I remember that I got here on the bus for lunch when I talked to them. My first shift wasn't until a whole 24 hours later. And I didn't know what to do at that time. I was a nobody in that time. I was in my lodge, and people just looked at me, and I was thinking, I'm trespassing, and they don't know who I am. And it was a while before, and I was shyer than I am now. It was a while before I felt like I had a place. Once I started working, I felt like I had a place. So yes, it's different with your staff. Or you come with a family, you've got a place. But I remember feeling very worried and upset that I didn't have a place. I didn't belong. This was supposed to be a family and a community, and I didn't feel like I belonged. And once I got into it, it was a wonderful time. And I must say that I did not take that feeling of not belonging home. But what I did take home is more of a sense of waiting on myself. This year when I came, the same thing happened. A whole 24 hours before I started my first shift. And it helped that I had a roommate who introduced me around. Last year when I got here, I was in a room for a few days. So that was hard. But when I came, I was ready to wait for my place. And that's something it has taken me last year home again, a year to work on this. Is quieting myself so that I'm not anxious about belonging, but belonging, knowing I'm who I am. And that's okay. You know, I belong as I am. And I feel like I've really settled in a lot easier this year. Of course, you know, that taking a self-awareness.
What somebody takes home after a week and what somebody takes home after several months or a year. The other item is that you just came in today, and I like to think that a lot of us bring something to this community. Both positive or a gift aspect, but also I would be one to say that most of us that are older, have family, and have careers, probably bring a lot of other things here to hold, like unanswered questions or garbage from where we've come from. And so there's a time, I think, where we come into the community and need to sort through some of that and let go of some of that. And I think maybe some sensitizing on the staff part to that, when people are climbing off the bus and you look at the person, and sure, it's easy to accept this, but our bus coming up, I said, I wonder what these people do for a living. I wonder what they're trying to let go of or get out from under, or come up here to ponder about, to get away from phones and pressing questions or problems. And so, before we take anything home with us, I think there's a time when we have to process and let go of a lot of stuff too as well. So that sort of utopia aspect really, to me, is in reality.
Yeah, I think people who spend any length of time at all don't think of Holden as utopia. but as a like we tried to form a safe place to try some new things and to begin to unload about what you're talking about. My I'm thinking of myself coming up here in three distinct modes. One is as the apparently happy father of a happy family, happy father, husband, teaching staff. First two times I came up here to teach. And all I saw here were families and happy families. And, you know, came back then as the clearly unhappy father of that family with two of the kids and without my soon-to-be ex-wife. And what that summer I saw was a lot of blended families and a lot of broken families. And it was quite startling to me that I didn't see that before. And this summer, I'm out here for the whole summer, and what do you think I see? Well, I see a lot of single people out here that I've never noticed before. It's just stunning to me that in the course of 5-6 years, I could see so many different things, in large part based on what I brought in here, you know, who I came as.
What I see are a lot of moms with small kids who are pulling on them with both arms. Mm-hmm. And that's what I left at home, and I'm feeling for them, and I want to help them.
And I see people going through transitions. Like I'm transferring schools, and that's I see lots of people transitions in their lives, and that's why they come here.
But, you know, even though we came with our own self-made group, and we tend to eat together, and in one way, that's also somewhat of a goal of mine that we would be together. And, but I also know that we slowly have gotten to know others in discussions or in the sauna or somewhere along the line, and just kind of reacting to some of the comments about what it must be like then to not be in that group. I wonder if, I know you've got a philosophy of giving us a lot of freedom. You've told us many times there's one requirement, Vespers, that's it. And some in our group said, that's what I love about Holden. There's only, you know, there's freedom, there's great freedom. But I wonder if maybe orientation could have more intentional mixing. I used to do it all the time with youth groups, youth gatherings. You know, we'd do the icebreakers. And at least then, you know, maybe those of us who are more alone or need some kind of introduction before we sit down at the table, then we'd be able to pick out some people if we can't find our own group. Be able to sit with somebody and feel that the ice is broken. Because I think it may be that we come with an image of utopia and it can be frightening when it's quiet and alone.
During orientation, there was one staff person. Basically, what it was is a slide shot. Over here's that, and over there's that. And I answer any questions you have. We were introduced to a whole lot of people. It wasn't very warm welcoming. I think a lot of us have a whole lot of anticipation when we come here, seeing people in the community. This is our fourth time here. One year particularly sticks out. I think it's 77. That the staff was real intentional in terms of its mixing, and spending time with different people. So philosophy is today or how we intentionally do that.
The Winter community spends this past year spent a lot of time on hospitality. And
we didn't do any greeting during worship. We had people pop up and sit down as if we were to memorize everybody's name. Rather than saying, they're just sharing this kind of thing, just saying before worship started. So we're going to meet five people. All that stuff sounds corny, maybe there's sort of intellectualness about sometimes this place that maybe that stuff's too corny. I think when I was in seminary in Philadelphia, there's two sides of the story. I was in phone booth, I love story. I'm coming home, I hate this place. I'm going from Arizona to Philadelphia. And my wife encouraged me to go to church. Son with us, and we sat on the front row, the closest people to us was about four rows back. Mm-hmm. The pastor walked in, did liturgy, and at the door, he never recognized the visitor's light. part of now, we intentionally spend about 10 minutes greeting one another, celebrating birthdays and everything, anniversaries, all the corny stuff. And I told the story of this guy who sat on the front row at our Saturday service with 40 people, and everybody was in the back row. This guy sat. It reminds me of a story. I told him a story about Philadelphia. That guy was the vicar who was at that same church. It just happened. He was wintering in Arizona. Be more intentional for those coming in to sort of get with the flow kind of thing. Maybe the freedom aspect is good to a certain extent, but maybe there needs to be some intentional kinds of things. Because I think that's what this gentleman was talking about too, is sort of the Lutheran formality at times. You got the stand up, sit down stuff. I'm pretty good.
You know, all these years I thought it was just me. I'm going to turn that around and ask how you can bring what you described back at your, are you in Arizona now? You parish in Arizona here, in the course of even a summer, you start to ask people over and over again how you've been here, what you're doing, when are you leaving? And your head begins to swim. And everybody in a green shirt or everybody in a summer theme shirt takes on the same personality. How do you?
I think that could be an excuse. That's a big, large staff for a parish. And both the staff and the church council. I don't want you hanging out with people you know on Sunday morning. I want you finding four or five new people that you don't know and spend some time with them, see how they're doing during.
I don't want to get into a debate about it, but I know that many of the staff here are very intentional about it, but this is also their home, and the difference between the fellowship hour and, you know, 18, yeah, dinner, so to speak, in your home, that they have to have some time, and they do talk with their friends and the people that become their family.
I think there are some things that this community does, including things like announcing who they are before they get announcements or matins or things of that sort that gives people a touch point. Someone will say something personal in some presentation and that gives someone an opening to say, oh, you know, they're from my home state or they like skiing too or whatever. That gives a person an opening with someone that they can now go to as I know them a little bit. I also think I've been here in a member of the group, I've been here on staff, I've been here now again as a guest, but just with my family. And I think those are all different experiences, and I think it also depends on how intentionally the person that comes here sets out to meet new people. My family is intentionally scattered to say hello to each other when we come to bed at night, but that's specifically so that you can make friends, and I think the fact that this is kind of an upside-down transient community, also one that has certain presuppositions. You can talk about God here and people won't look at you like you're weird. It gives people some built-in commonality and a knowledge that they're not breaking into somebody else's equip that I think naturally encourages, especially as relatively shy types, to make new friends, but I think it isn't something that has to come just from the staff, it has to come from the people coming in. I know when I came here with the group the first time, I was going, you know, why did I come 1,600 miles to spend time with the same people I spend time in? And yet there is that sense of building more community with people that you only see on Sunday morning. And I think everybody has to decide what their issues are. When I was on staff here last year, we had a group that came here specifically for community building. They didn't come to talk to new people. They came to get to know each other. And they have their own activities, and that's fine. And there are other groups who are kind of
making it a little bit more friendly so that they don't feel like they're all alone, maybe making people feel a little bolder about coming, and yet their goal is to get new ideas and things. I guess the thing that I'm still kind of debating, this being my third time here, is that whole idea of how to work at creating, maybe not an intentional community by that name, but to bring some of the ideas of an intentional community, something that's more than Sunday morning, and is accountability to and for each other into a form of communication. That's what I'm still struggling with.
How do you do that at St. Mark's?
I think it relates a lot to some of the issues you've been talking to me about, and it has to do with getting to know each other, and it has to do with having small study groups, small discussion groups with each other. And maybe Ray has something to say about this in the community too, but I've seen it at the same time. But it has had to do with, at the very beginning, breaking up into groups of five and saying we're going to spend X number of times together talking about these five questions. What is community? I think that's what Paula and Allison and Sarah and some other people have been doing for several months now and plan to continue doing, is just talking to each other and getting to know each other. It's just exactly what you're talking about. And you can't do that with 400 people. We couldn't even do it with 40 people. We had, in our community, we went through a big struggle for a few years. Finally discovered that somebody was bold enough to say, I can't be best friends to 40 people. I can maybe get to know 8 to 12 people. And so we broke off into small groups. So, you know, like you're suggesting, breaking out, getting to know people, but it's in small groups.
It might be helpful to have something like name tags for the people on their first day or two here that can help identify them. People would know, they can open and introduce yourselves. It would actually be helpful for everybody. I've met an incredible number of people, but I can't remember very many of their names because after a while I just got an overload.
The opposite view of the viewpoint of that is that's a barrier between us. I don't come up and ask you.
Yeah, that's true.
That's the other viewpoint on that. Goes both ways.
Yeah. I thought maybe I should be carrying a notebook around.
Taking pictures of
everything. Well, I would like to mention the Bible study and the discussion groups, the lectures. That's what I am going to bring home. New ideas and all the things that we've been talking about in the Bible study is so very enriching. And that's why I came to Holden, because I'd heard about this. Because at my age, I don't climb mountains. But I did want to come just for the sessions, and they've been wonderful.
How will you take them home?
I have a lot of new ideas in my head, and I'm just waiting to discuss some of them when I pass to Mark. In fact, we haven't discussed these things. And we have met these wonderful teachers here. And what I will do is, when I go home, is I'm telling them what an enriching experience it was for me. But now on the lighter side, I also am taking home the hot tamale recipe.
All right.
You told me I had to get it.
Forgot about that.
Good for you.
Are those recipes readily available?
Oh, yes. They have a book of them.
Where at?
You do is take a pencil and a piece of paper and go and ask, and then.
And there's a cookbook for sale in the bookstore.
Is there?
I think one of the neatest things about Holden is when you go home and people say, what have you been doing for all summer or for a week? And you say, wait till my pictures come. I'll sit down for 3 hours and I'll tell you all about it. And it just makes people want to come here. And then more people come here and can share it with more people who maybe not everyone's going to come rushing to Holden, but at least it gives people... It gives off energy. I mean, you come here, you get energy, in all different sorts of ways, and then you go home and you energize other people, and sometimes you come back to get some more.
I want to respond to the question Peter asked you. When I moved back to Minneapolis, having lived here for 3 years, I was in a role, which I'm sure many of you are, where I had to do programming for my worshiping group. And I used what I learned here at Holden with, well, what topic areas? Okay, well, we did this once at Holden. Oh, they live in Minneapolis. Well, maybe I'll call them up and see if they could come to my church and do that. Or maybe I know somebody that does the same topic. So that, I mean, even though it isn't the same discussion or just a discussion with that I'm leading, but to bring ideas back to the congregation as, you know, a program that you could offer.
I have a couple things. One with the meeting of new guests and everything. It seems to me that a lot of guests come and go every week, and it's so hard to like stop and talk to each one of them. And because I've played cards like with a couple groups of guests who have been up here, and that was a lot of fun. I'm gonna go spend some time with some of the guests tonight, but I don't know, you can only do so much, though. I mean, you can't meet every guest, although, you know, it'd be so much fun. I mean, I'd love to. Another thing that I think I'll bring home with me from Holden is the freedom to be myself. I grew up in a really tight Christian place, don't know what to call it, but and I wasn't able to be myself for, you know, 17 years of my life. And then when I left, I was confused. I didn't know who I was or anything. And then I came to Holden as a, you know, suggestion. And the first 2 weeks, I was even more confused than ever. I was like, I wrote home and I was like, who am I? You know, I don't know who I am. There's so many people who are so cool up here. And I'm just really tired. Hello. It's weird. But and now, I mean, I feel like such a freer person. I mean, I haven't shaved my legs for 2 weeks.
You're not going to take home your razor.
At home, it would be so outcast. Like, wear deodorant or makeup. Or, I don't know. And also just meeting new people. I'm like so much more outgoing. I've ever been. I'm hearing my voice. But no, I don't know, it's been a wonderful experience, and I think I'm supposed to be here to October, but I want to leave sooner, I think, just to bring the experience to others, like faster, and then I'll be back next year. But I don't know, that's my goal so far.
I think that's something else to understand is that a lot of the staff here are going through the same kind of experiences that the guests are. I mean, I came here alone from Florida, and I'm not a Lutheran, so. God, I guess, you know? I mean, it's just, there's every reason in the world why I might feel isolated. And at first, I kind of did. It just takes a while to get to know people. And staff, what's the commitment? 2 weeks minimum? So staff come and go too, and it takes us a while to adjust and get comfortable. I've been here just a week, and I'm real happy to be here, and I'm feeling more and more comfortable. I work with a great group of people, but it does take time. And I think
at one point I said to be misinterpreted.
Oh no, 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 no,
unfriendly, because that's not the case. I just think that it's a common courtesy to say hello to other people
right.
that you're sitting by. And I don't want my comment to
be Oh, no, and I'm not at all. It's just interesting when you said that, I was realizing that I felt the exact same way that you did when I came here. And I was here for my first day and my first meal, which was hunger awareness. I mean, you're thrown together with a group of people that you might not otherwise even look at, say hi to, think about becoming friends with, and on staff, when you work closely with people, you're almost forced to become friends with them. And I think that's a really neat thing, you know, because you find out that all along you've kind of been judging people a little too quickly, because there's a lot in people that you don't know is there until you, you know, don't just scratch the surface, but dig into them.
Do you think you would be able to take some of that home?
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
I'm going to
be here
for
2 months.
That's real important.
I came here totally in transition. I want to go to grad school next fall, hopefully, and I'm thinking of moving to Washington, and that's a big step from Florida. And so it's just time off for me to pray and think, to be in Washington and see how it feels, to meet some people from Washington and see how I feel about them.
I want to give you the 10-minute warning, then I see Roland over here and this gentleman in the Navy shirt over here. Did you have your hand up?
I'm on teaching staff, I've been here since Saturday, and we'll leave Saturday, so I won't be here long. But it helped that we knew a number of people here. There were some guests here in the same community that we knew. We knew some of the staff people here, and that helped a lot. But I hear quite a few comments about people coming and not feeling welcome, at least for the first day or two. I would have been more than willing to be part of a greeting team or be matched with someone coming in the next day or something. I don't know if that would help or not.
That's in place for staff that's coming in.
Yeah, because, but not for guests.
Well, there is some minimal greeting, and depending on who's here and available at noon or 12:30, there's a waving contingent.
Right.
2-year-old Thomas Dunning takes that as his major task of the day.
I also thought that when I first came that people usually arrived on Saturday, but I found that it's just kind of a revolving thing, and I didn't realize that for a day or two, right? And so that adds kind of to the transitional nature of the place. You're not here with a group for a week or 2 weeks. It's just a continually changing community, which makes it even more kind of the feeling of everything being in transition and not permanent.
A faster picture of the world.
Just a couple of comments. First of all, I want to affirm Dan's comment about being a resource for the people out there. I mean, being from Minnesota, serving a congregation there, they're just, I don't know of anybody that doesn't know about the whole evening prayer service.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, and those are great resources. But this is our first time here. We're here for a few days, and it's been a long time dream. And you don't ever, as much as you talk to people, you never really know exactly what to expect when you come to the place. But after about a day, one of the things that really struck me was that this is truly a village. And I've just come out of 6 weeks of sabbatical time where I've been doing a lot of things where I've been thinking about community and community issues. And it's been a real encouragement to me to be able to look at this as a village, as a community model, and see a place where there's a lot of things happening. There's a lot of changes, a lot of transitions. People here for a lot of different reasons and a lot of different struggles, but to see it function as a community. I mean, we just feel so free within the context of this community, and that's, to me, is encouraging. And I hope I can take some of that back to where we're at, and try to help build and strengthen that community. And being aware and listening to some of the things that are being said tonight that are really important for community. And so I think just being able to come here and be here for a few days and observe gives us an opportunity to bring something like that.
One thing I think I'm going to bring on from here
is the ability to go up to people and introduce myself when I normally wouldn't have. When my mother and I came here, she drove me out on my kitchen staff. She drove me out here and we were walking through the village and some woman just came up and started talking to us about the beer that was there. We were shocked from right outside Chicago. People came up to talk to me for no reason. And I'm not saying that when I go home to Chicago I'm going to greet everyone I see in the streets, but I mean, like, maybe the safer situation, like in a store or something, maybe I'd be more willing to make eye contact. Because I noticed that a lot of people from the cities when they come here are pretty surprised at the friendliness that is. That's something I'm going to try to bring home. I'm going back to Chicago.
One of the things I've noticed this summer, just coming, been here now 6 weeks, how many parents feel so free with their kids here that their kids can run off to the Miners Village. And so many parents have said to me, you know, I just feel so, that it's so safe for my kids here, and it makes me sad because I know elsewhere that can't be the way it is. And, you know, how do we take that sort of thing back? Or, I don't know if that's even a possibility.
Speaking of minors, Becky.
I was thinking about what I would take back from home. And before I came here, I work with high school kids. And I do that in my own community at home, too. And I really enjoy it. But one of the things I've been doing a lot of on my own is studying. You know, I've been doing some intensive Bible study and trying to read through scripture. I've been doing a lot of the head sort of stuff of and I got here, and I've been coming to Bible study and doing that kind of stuff as well, but I've really found, just from the people that I've met, if they're guests or if they're staff, like, talking to Paul and Preston, and just different people that, that there's a big call to take, for me, a sense of ministry that feels easy, of doing instead of thinking, that
I just need to be a little more active in my own life instead of doing the thinking end of it, but do the being end of it. I wanted to echo what you said about children. I have a 9-year-old and an 11-year-old, and we were here last year when we were 8 and 10, and they want to move here because they do have that freedom to make their own plans, to do their own things, to make their own friends, that I can't afford to let them have in that outside world. And yet I think, you know, one of the things that's said about the kids that go to the Holden School is they're so mature when they leave. And part of that's because they're allowed to make their own decisions, that it's an environment in which there are many good decisions that can be made. And I think that that's something that even though I can't let my children have that same freedom at home, they're different people for having had that freedom here.
Just to see the range of possibilities there.
And also I think that they do get a bit more of a picture of what it's like to be a responsible citizen of their community. I have some real directive sort of things I wanted them to do here last year to learn about being part of a community, and none of that worked out, and yet they learned some very valuable lessons about, you know, communities don't just happen. And I think that's extremely valuable for my kids to see.
When the last time I was here was when I was 14, and there was a group of kids from California that were here as their families knew each other. They were part of the same church, and I got to be really good friends with them. And I've seen them every summer since. We went back home, and we were so excited. There was a big youth gathering the next summer. My church stayed with their church. Our friends got to be friends. We did a Habitat for Humanity project the next summer after that, and they came up to Montana, and they got to see Montana.